Dr. Aishwarya Rao, a pediatrician and public health consultant, and I'm going to take you through some commonly held rumors and anti-rumors in the context of the coronavirus outbreak that we as a country are hoping to contain. I'm going to share with you a conversation with Danny, a young writer, who came to see me with some doubts, fears, and concerns that he picked up from social media.
Hey, Doc.
Hey, Danny.
I know it's a good time to see the doctor when all we could talk about is the coronavirus. I have a lot of queries with me that I want you to debunk, and I know this information is spreading like wildfire. I represent the rumor, and you, Doc, represent the anti-rumor. I meant anti-rumor.
You had to slip that in?
I actually meant all the aunties sitting in the comfort zone and forwarding these messages from their WhatsApp university. I know us humans have reason to be worried. But you know what? I have a dog at home. Or anybody who has a dog at home has another reason to be worried. Because I'm wondering, what if it spreads from that animal? And the common fact that the papers say that the coronavirus infection first started from an animal that is a bat to human, can it actually get back to an animal and then spread?
As of now, it is a zoonotic infection. It is theorized that the infection started from animals in the wild. Coronavirus has always existed in bats. However, the current epidemic is caused by a novel strain of the coronavirus, which mutated and then jumped from the bats into humans and is spreading from one human to another. Now, you are asking me if this coronavirus can go back and infect an animal, specifically a home pet. As of now, there is very little evidence for it. But last week, they were able to isolate the coronavirus from a pet dog in Hong Kong. Generally, the respiratory viruses that infect humans do not infect dogs because the viruses that infect dogs are completely different strains. Animals and human viruses do not cross-infect. But when they do cross-infect, then we have a serious problem. Now, with this Hong Kong case of the dog, they said was a weak positive result for the virus, and the Pomeranian is not showing any symptoms and is actually in quite good health. Most probably, it was a contamination. Maybe the dog was licking a contaminated surface or the swab itself was contaminated. Now, that is one possibility. But as such, there is no evidence for the virus going on to infect pets and then for the pets to carry on spreading the information further.
Then how did bats actually spread it to humans?
In the wild, with deforestation and shrinking forests, the interaction between wild animals and the human population is becoming larger. All viruses and bacteria are constantly multiplying. The products of reproduction are supposed to have exactly the same genetic composition as the parent organism. Sometimes there are mutations, and mutations generally are extremely common. Mutations are small changes in the genetic code or material. Lots of mutations are not harmful, but some mutations are harmful, and that is when the animal virus leaves the animal population and enters the human species. These are called zoonotic infections. That's what happened whenever there was a deadly epidemic like the Nipah, Ebola, Marburg, or SARS. The virus either jumped from a bat, pig, or bird species into humans. Now with the coronavirus, it is told that infection jumped from a bat into the human population.
I have a question from what you just said. Of all the viruses that keep recurring in human existence, could it be that nature thinks we are overpopulating the earth and it has kept these viruses as a check?
So you are saying that this is a corrective measure by nature?
Whoa, I'm not saying anything, Doc. I don't want to take sides and be bombarded on Twitter and all the social media world, okay?
You know what? We are not spokespersons for nature. As much as we respect nature, she has her own rhythm and flow and unpredictability.
Look, there's also this theory floating about that this infection was brought to Wuhan by the US Army.
What we are dealing with right now are only facts and figures. We do not talk about variables that are not understood. We will stick to the facts and only facts that will help us in containing the spread of the virus from one person to another. We will leave the theories and conspiracies to those people who believe them. And as such, they are of no benefit to anyone. Let's stick to the irrefutable facts.
Okay, folks, you heard her. Let's stick to the facts, says the doc. But we have our own monkeys in our minds telling us different things. just want to know why it is not spread to some states in India, for example, MP, and some states have only tested one case so far.
See, it's not a question of it hasn't spread. It's a question of surveillance. When you don't get data out of a state, it does not mean that the infection doesn't exist. It only means that it wasn't tested and the numbers were not collected and collated in some place and notified. So if you say that a particular state at this point has only one virus positive case so far or no case, it means that there were no cases. But the alternate explanation is that the infections were untested and that they didn't do enough tests.
But why is it so contagious? Is it because it's an airborne disease?
See, that is the nature of the novel mutated virus strain. It spreads through droplets. The virus is able to go and attach itself to the mucous membrane. That's the layer coating the nose and the respiratory tract, and then multiply. And then when you cough and sneeze, you spread it to others through droplets. These are tiny droplets teeming with thousands of viral particles.
Ew!
So it goes from one infected person to another. They say that one infected person who hasn't taken any precautions and goes about their work, traveling and doing stuff, they can infect up to four people within the period of their window of infectivity. That is the 10-day window. This means that a single infection will become two and then four and then eight, and those infected persons will in turn start spreading similarly and exponentially.
I think the only thing that spreads faster than rumors is the coronavirus. And now I agree with the government's policy of quarantine of anyone who comes down with the virus. But what I don't want to believe, I don't want to believe that we are living in the end times. Are we really, Doc? Is the apocalypse really upon us?
If you wash your hands and stay at home if you have symptoms, there is no reason why the world should come to an end. It's as simple as that.
Okay, let's say, if something or someone is dictating you to shut up and sit at home, then to me it's something really serious.
It's simple yet serious.
Okay, let me ask you if global warming has something to do with this.
These are all variables that we cannot replicate, or let me put it this way. We will comment only on those things that are useful for our fight with the virus.
We've talked about dogs, and the next curious thing that comes to my mind is babies. Is it possible that babies can be infected? When we have a baby at home, do we need to be worried?
Generally, all the data and studies coming from China has shown that children do get infected, but that severity of symptoms is not as high. At least not as severe as the elderly or the immunocompromised. But children are highly infectious and they spread it much more. That is what we know. Because last week...
I know, we all take a baby for granted. We can't keep ourselves from touching it and kissing it.
Yeah, children keep playing and keep touching things, and it is very difficult to keep children to comply and to make them to stick to instructions. See, it is difficult to make you stick to instructions.
So my wife would agree, yes.
See, but there was a newborn baby last week, it was notified. A neonate in the UK who was tested positive for the novel coronavirus, who was treated, recovered and reunited with parents.
Wow, that's good news. That's hope for humanity, Doc. Talking about humanity as a whole, do you think we have the immune system to fight the virus on our own?
Most of the infection is self-limited and asymptomatic. You shouldn't see an infected person as an end in himself or herself. He is an agent that is spreading the virus around. So public health is so different from clinical practice because it is not that one patient that we see. We see an infected person in the context of the community that he can infect. So that's the difference.
Moving on, I believe that we're sitting in a hotter climate and we cannot catch a cold. That is the irony of it, is it not? So this starts with the cold, or in a cold climate. What do you have to say about that?
That is a belief that is unfounded in truth or in real practice. What I mean is that people do catch a cold in summer. It's not unknown to occur, and especially for the transmission of the coronavirus, heat is not a deterrent. A hot climate does not prevent coronavirus from spreading. But scientists did observe that the rate of infectivity was somewhat reduced. That is the science so far.
Like this, there are so many misconceptions. For example, I was given lemon juice, or rather hot lemon juice, by someone in my office. and said that if you drink it, it's going to build your immune system against the coronavirus. Of course, they didn't put it so nicely. They just said that it will prevent it. And one of us actually had to call up the HR and ask him, is it just to wash our hands or to drink it? Because we didn't know. Please explain, I mean, debunk that kind of evolved thinking to me. Is it, if it was true, you know what I think? I think the price of lemons would go up more than gold in the market.
If all this grandmother and in your case, colleagues' tales were true, then we would have treated AIDS, diabetes, malaria, cancer long, long ago. At this point, lime juice is not known to be a... Hot lime juice is not a special preventive strategy for protection against the coronavirus or the Nilavembu Kasham for that matter. The only thing, again and again, I want to reiterate that prevents someone from getting the coronavirus infection is hand washing and keeping a safe distance from someone you know who is infected and having symptoms. Don't touch any surfaces. Don't touch your face. If you touch, wash your hands anyway. That is what is going to prevent and stop the infection. Not your lemon juice, not your hot lemon juice.
If hot lemon juice is not going to work, then maybe joining the Go Karna Go protest can help.
You mean the prayer Go Karna Go?
No, I mean there's a place called Go Karna and I want to go there and say Go Karna Go. And maybe the virus will quit India.
Why are you laughing when you say that? You think it works?
Of course I don't think it works, Doc. That's one thing I don't want to ask. If anything will work, because we're at a point in time where media is making you believe that literally the apocalypse is upon you. So my point is...
You know, my answer to this is to each man his faith. We also heard stories of Christian prayer meetings that were supposed to halt the coronavirus and Maulvis praying that people were protected. We are not here to trash anyone's personal beliefs. And I do think that personal faith and beliefs have a great role in helping someone cope with a disease or sickness. Anything is fair game. But at the same time, use scientific knowledge and common sense and general precautions prescribed during an epidemic, which is once again, wash hands, keep a safe distance from someone was either traveled or showing symptoms.
Or keep a safe distance from somebody who doesn't wash hands.
Aha, from someone who doesn't wash hands. That's a very useful tip. And wash your hands and don't touch your face, don't touch surfaces. And if you do wash your hands, immediately. This is what is going to keep us through this long period of waiting out this pandemic until it dies its own natural death and goes away. This is Dr. Aishwarya Rao signing off, and I will see you with some more information on coronavirus in the next podcast.